To the Eastern Mass Zoning Board of, Zoning Board of Appeals meeting. Today is Tuesday, October 24th. I'm Ryan Cook, I'm the chair. On tonight's first hearing, we're going to have Mr. McCall, all the way to my far right. We will also have Mr. Curran to his immediate left. Mr. Kay has recused himself. So we'll have Mr. Handwerger on my immediate left, and our newest member, Ms. Rummel. No stranger to zoning boards of appeals, though. Fantastic. And then myself, so that'll be our board tonight. Mr. McCall, do you want to read the our first item in, please?
Eastern Board of Appeals will hold a public hearing on Tuesday, October 24th, 2023 at 6:30 p.m. at the Easton Town Hall, Colleen Corona Boardroom, 136 Elm Street, Easton, Massachusetts, on the following petition. Special permit, Gen 3RE LLC for property located 785 Washington Street, Easton, Assessor's Map 40U, Lot 2A, for a special permit pursuant to Easton Code Book, Chapter 235, Zoning, Section 235-56 and 235-14. And 235 Appendix A1 Table Use of Regulations H Subsection 6. Applicant seeks permission to allow a dog kennel business. This notice is also available at masspublicnotices.org. I'm going to read the boards and their following comments. DPW and Police Department not applicable. Board of Health incomplete with the following comment. Our records show the current septic design is for 300 gallons per day. How many kennels do you plan on having? The current septic system can only support 6 kennels at 50 gallons per day. The current septic system is from 1969. Environmental planner, not applicable. They did leave a comment. Is there a plan for animal waste? Owners should confirm they understand requirements under a stormwater program and operation and maintenance plan per conservation. Historical Commission of Affordable Housing, no comment. Building Department, recommended. Planning and Zoning Board gave an incomplete with the following comment. October 2nd, 2023, the Planning and Zoning Board discussed the special permit application submitted for 785 Washington Street and voted unanimously to provide no comment as sufficient information to weigh the merits of the proposed use was not provided.
Fantastic, thank you. Is the applicant here?
Yes, sir.
You ready, sir?
Sure.
Just a couple comments. I'm assuming most of the folks here are for this hearing in particular. So the applicant is going to have the chance to make their comments and present their case. Once they have, the board may ask a couple of minor questions just for clarification during that. Once they have finished their presentation, it will be open for public comments. So we just ask to please be respectful to the applicant while they are making their presentation. You will have plenty of time to have the ability to make comments. All right, sir. You absolutely can. It ends up being the same on both screens.
Good evening, Mr. Chair and other members of the board. My name is Frederick Casavan. I'm an attorney that represents the applicant. A representative from the applicant is here, Pat Follin, as well as with the tenant, who's the business owner, Bob Cattagio, for a Classic Canines LLC. And Mr. Farrier is our engineer who put the plans together. So the applicant is seeking a special permit for a dog kennel use at 785 Washington Street. They're currently operating out of 79 Washington Street right next door, which is also owned by Mr. Follin. The proposal would be a business hours of 6 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. They're currently, and that's Sunday through Saturday, they're currently operating 6:30 to 7. So it'll be an hour earlier on each end. There are a few possibility for late pickups. It's it is rare, a couple times a week, so they would like the ability to do that as well. It's usually by appointment, again, 3 to 4 times a week. They might have someone who is running late and needs to have a late pickup. Employees, there'll be approximately 30 employees, 12 to 15 there at any given time. The amount of animals, they're seeking 200 dogs during the daycare and grooming activity. 50 to 60 of those would be in the outside play area, I guess the best way to describe it. And they would be seeking of those animals 75 to be allowed to be boarded or to stay overnight. It suggested the board, sort of the legal argument, we submitted a memo to the board. Again, they've been operating since 2006 with a slight amendment in 2007 where they allowed 25 overnight animals, so boarding animals. So that was the change I believe you were, Mr. Chairman, were discussing with Suzanne. So that was in 07. So they've been operating there since. For this special permit, I would suggest is the proposed use is in harmony with the bylaws. There's several factors, as you well know. I'll go over them briefly, but they are in my memo, and you know, I can refer to the memo. There's the social economic community need. Clearly, there's a demand in the town for the doggy daycare, kenneling. The tenant's business is growing, needs a larger space. I believe there's even one down the street. So there's clearly a demand in the town for this service. Traffic flow, safety, including parking and loading, another factor. This proposed business will be a minimal impact on traffic, safety, parking. The customers drop their pets off. They leave them there for a long period of time. They're not coming and going. Drop them off in the morning, come pick them up at night. So there's not a big constant flow of vehicles coming in and out of the facility. The building's about 100 feet away from the road, so you're not going to have any sort of congestion getting in and out of the entrances. And there's adequate parking per the bylaws, which Mr. Ferry can speak to if needed. The other factor, adequacy of utilities and public services. The only real utility being supplied by the town will be water, and it's more than sufficient. It's in a business district, and the facilities are perfectly capable of handling what this business would use. The neighborhood character and social structure factor. It's in a business district, which does allow for dog kennels by special permit. Obviously, there's one there now next door. There's another one down the street. So I don't see there wouldn't be any adverse effects on the neighborhood. Clearly, the town contemplated allowing these, you know, under a special permit. Any impacts on the natural environment? There's no indication that the dog kennel would have any adverse impact on the natural environment. Again, it's currently operating, no complaints, 795. And the site they're moving to, although they'll be expanding, it's basically the same business. And then any fiscal impacts, impact on town services, tax base, etc. The kennel business, again, is currently at 795. They're going to looking to increase the business. So that would generate more, you know, revenue for the town, opportunities for people to be employed by this business. Also, I did want to point out the applicant, just want to make sure I'm using the right name. They work closely with Officer Jordan Holbrook, who is the animal officer in town. And they do supply a service if there's any strays or emergency situations where he needs to put a dog. They do offer that currently to the animal officer and will continue to do that. They'll set up a space for that purpose. And to address some of the comments, again, Mr. Farrey might be better suited for some of the technical ones, but regarding the animal waste comment, so the employees monitor the outdoor indoor play areas while the pets are there. The pet waste is collected. It's placed in a closed, I'm just gonna read from this so I don't say it wrong. Placed in a closed metal container lined with a plastic bag. It's tied, placed into a dumpster, which is emptied at a minimum once per week by a local licensed waste management company. water usage, and the tenant expects 20 dogs groomed per day, you know, of the total dogs in there. That's about 50 gallons per dog. That'd be about 1,000 gallons. It would be 1,000 gallons. If you're looking at the employees, you got about 15 employees at most in there one time. Even if you say they have 50 gallons a day, which is probably high, that's 750. So you're at 1750. The current septic system per the Title V is designed for 2200. So I think that'd be adequate. And I know there was some recent, I just learned about it a little while ago, some comments from the neighbors. I think there's a neighboring condominium. So we looked at that. It's about 225 feet when I was on Google Earth. Kind of the point of the outside play area would be to the closest point of the structure of the condominium. And it was about 220, 230, something in that range. And in between that, it's a heavily wooded area. So I think any concerns of noise, you know, maybe a little misplaced, because there is over 200 feet, and most of that is heavily wooded. So I don't think there will be any noise issues. I think that addresses the comments. I think at this point, Mr. Chair, if you please, I could have Mr. Farrier just show you the plans and give you a better idea of what it looks like inside and out.
Yeah, fire away.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Chair, board members, the site, as you all know, was the former Evolution facility. It received site plan and special permit back in 2011 for parking. There are 41 spaces on site. We're required to have 28. There's 41. Obviously, we have plenty. Septic system is in working condition. Has a passed Title V examination in the front under the parking lot. There's adequate drainage facilities in the back along the rear of the building. There's really no changes to the site at all. Most of the changes will be inside the building. The only change to the outside is just the play area on the side where the current turf area is. So that's really all we've got for site issues. Just a layout that the proposed facility would look like, breaking up the existing building. That would be the outdoor play area again, where the turf is. Parking all the way across the front, broken up into the facility the way they needed. Small dogs, large dogs, medium dogs, reception areas, things like that, broken down in this manner. So from our point of view, from an engineering point of view, really no changes, no heavy lifting on our end, just a request for that the special permit as required in the bylaw.
Okay.
So. I'll just leave this one up.
Mr. Chair, do you have any questions? I'm happy to help. Mr. Farrier is here again. The property owner and the tenant, the business owner, if need be, are happy to get into some of the specifics if you.
Okay. Well, I think, you know, at this point we'll open it up for public comment. So I'm just going to get some instructions in general. One, be respectful of each other. I'm sure a lot of you here want to provide comment. We want to hear it. If I'm hearing the same comments over and over, I'm going to cut you off just for brevity. You know, if we've already heard it, we're really looking for. We don't want to hear the same comments over and over and over, because it just make, you know, the hearing last a very long time unnecessarily. So we want to make sure you all have an opportunity. And if you have comments, please try and make them brief. Rambling statements, I may cut you off, again, just for brevity. Okay, so when you do, yeah, go ahead, Suzanne.
I just wanted to say, for ECAT, and for people to hear it live and recorded, whoever's speaking should use a microphone.
Well, that's what I was just going to go
and
over.
And name and address.
But thank you. So, because there are so many folks here, and we are, we broadcasting live on ECAT, or is it going to be recorded? Well, regardless, at some point, someone may actually want to watch one of these if they're having trouble sleeping at night. We do have a microphone set up. We would ask that you come up and utilize a microphone. speak clearly your name and your address, and then we'll go forward. So I guess we'll take turns. You know, however you live. First guinea pig. Your hands raised. Go right ahead.
All right. Thank you. Should I just pull this forward?
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right, thank you.
Make sure when you address the chair and not the applicants individually.
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My time up already?
Make sure your phones are on silent.
My name is James Morano. We own the property at 807 Washington Street, which I believe is adjacent to this property. 807 Washington Street has 5 residential apartments there. The noise... The barking, it's constant, it's incessant. We have tenants contacting us about the noise.
This is for their current location.
This is for their current location.
Okay. Yes.
And so I'll bring that up briefly, but the current noise situation is a problem. It's ongoing always. We're showing apartments. We have prospective tenants that walk away because of the noise. We have our tenants calling because of the noise. We obviously can't do anything about it. We understand that they have a current location. The problem that we have is that if you add what they want to add, it is going to exacerbate the noise problem exponentially. Mm-hmm. And it's going to create an undue burden on us as adjacent property owners trying to run just five apartments over there. So that's what I have to say.
Fantastic. Thank you. All right, you, sir.
Hi, thanks for letting me speak here. My name is Kevin Fitzgerald. I live at 10 Janet Road on the other side of the woods that the counselor spoke of that shouldn't be a problem. And I can attest for where Classy Canines is now, that woods does not offer any buffer whatsoever. I'm hearing those dogs every day. And I've also MapQuested, and that is 132 yards. Mm. From the back of our building, moving to 66 yards away. And I just have a few comments that I'd like to say here, that we absolutely oppose any dog kennel moving into 785 Washington Street. I sent an email to yourself and the board earlier in the week with the help of Suzanne. Thank you, Suzanne. And I went to the 3 buildings that abut this property, and I have 30 signatures, and most of them are from us residents in those 3 buildings. There were a couple other people throughout the complexes, 12 buildings total, that heard about it and wrote their name down. So 98% are opposed to it. And the reasons are that we are already listening to the loud barking from where they're at. Moving dog kennel closer into a larger building equals even more barking dogs, which will be significantly louder, and per an Eastern real estate office that I spoke to, will absolutely decrease property values and affect real estate comps throughout our complex and most likely other condos or apartments like the gentleman before me, who I don't know, just spoke of. Concessions like hanging noise reduction panels on the fences or limiting number of dogs outside simply will not work. And as the counselor said, up to 60 dogs, 60. I think we can all attest that we've heard 1 or 2 neighborhood dogs in our life, and it gets pretty annoying. 60 dogs at one time. We deserve our homes to be our sanctuaries, just the same as everyone else. So I implore the panel to please really put yourselves in our shoes. We are not anti-Classy Canines. I personally love dogs, and we're not anti-capitalists. We'd like to see a business go in there, but just not a bunch of barking dogs or anything like that. So I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Tracy DeBrow, and I live at 10 Janet.
Wait till you get to, because we can hear you, but then the public listening can't.
Hi, I'm Tracy DeBrow, and I live at 10 Janet Road as well. Tiny bit similar. I live at the end unit, which is actually visibly, I can see the property, Evolution Sports. And when that was actually being used. It was a little bit of annoying, especially at this time of year when the leaves are gone. I have floodlights out in the back into my living room, my bedroom, and it was quite noisy with children. I can't imagine. I'm actually shocked to hear the number of dogs that's being proposed, so I'm in the same boat. I just don't think that's going to... I mean, I get dogs bark, and unfortunately, I think that's probably why you see a lot of places where they're in more of a... not residential, but what's the word I'm trying to think? Yeah, commercial area. I mean, I sleep with my window open, so a lot of times I have I hear howling that wakes me up, barking. But I also it's also the Follen business itself with the floodlights and you know bedroom the trucks. So it's the dogs and the trucks for me. But 60 dogs, I think, is just I oppose that as well. And
I appreciate it. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Kristen Ward. I live at 6 Janet Road, so that's just behind, in front of the 10 Janet Road. And I can attest that what they said about heavily wooded is really not heavily wooded. I can see right through. It's probably, I would say, 5 to 6 rows of trees, like, scattered. It's not heavily wooded. So that is not an argument that I think should be considered in this for the noise. It's not gonna get rid of any noise.
Thank you. Any others? Yes, sir.
Michael Roush, 10 Janet.
Wait till you're up to the microphone, please.
Michael Roush, 10 Janet. My question is more about point of procedure, how decisions are weighed, and what time frame and how are they published?
Sure, so that's a great question. So the way this works is special permit is defined by Mass General Law, Chapter 40A. There is a set standard. And if you pull up on the permitized application, you can see applicant's letter and the attorney did a good job of stepping through the individual elements of the special permit application. So our job as the board will be to step through each of those elements of the special permit application, either deny or approve. Once we vote on that, it's a 30-day time period for us to put our decision in writing and present it to the applicant, whether approved or rejected. If it's rejected, the applicant has 20 days to appeal. That's sort of the process. But thank you for the question.
How was the township?
If you have another question so the public can hear.
Sure, sorry.
That's okay.
I'm just wondering how the town gets notified of the decision.
So all decisions are available on the Easton Zoning Board of Appeals website through Permitize. Yes, Suzanne?
And the abutters, if you are an abutter and you were notified of this meeting, the decision will be mailed to all the abutters.
Okay, thank you.
And it's also posted.
Sure. All right. Okay, any other comments? Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, my name is Pat Follen. I live at 21 Kilsyth Road in Southeastern. Also work at 795 Washington Street, where the current tenant is now. I just wanted to speak on a couple things as far as where the layout is, where the dogs will be. This is a larger building than they're at now. Actually, will help 807 quite a bit because they're going to be further away. Also, larger building is going to project probably towards us a lot more. They've been a great partner with us for 16 years in the business. I think it's good to see them growing the business. I spoke with another business owner that is further up on 138 that, excuse me, actually her backyard is right up to an outdoor kennel space. I know there's some concerns about it. The tenant is actually a great, they're great people. They're gonna do everything they can to help out with this process. They don't intend to disrupt anybody, but they also wanna make a living and do the best they can in their business. But that's all I wanted to say.
Appreciate it, thank you. Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name's Michael Carvin. I'm 10 Janet Road also. And to add something new to the noise issue would be that if we're looking at this map here, Janet Road is off to the right. And most of our condos are, you know, set back the same amount that that's set back. There's sort of a small stream going through there that's very sparsely wooded. It's heavily wooded to the top of that map, like between us and if you were going north on Washington up like Simpson Springs. But in between us, not heavily, but behind us very heavily. Also, another thing about the noise is the noise we're getting now is abated somewhat by like four buildings between where Classic K9s, who I like. I like the business. But there are four buildings. There's Classic K9s itself. We're off to the left now, coming towards us. There's like a two-story like maintenance bay garage across from that that also acts as a buffer. Closer to Washington Street, there's a brick structure. And then there's this huge building itself being a buffer. So depending on what angle the, you know, we are on Janet, going back towards where the dogs are, there are going to be three buildings between anyone on Janet and where the dogs are now. Putting them here, we're just down to the one building closer and a greater number of dogs. So I think the noise is going to get to intolerable is harsh, but unacceptable levels for a condo. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thanks. Anybody else?
Can I just add something?
Yep. Feel free.
So listening to Mr. Fullen and others, this is nothing against the owner of Classic Canines. I'm sure he's a wonderful guy. Who wants to hear a bunch of dogs barking every day? I already hear it every day. I invite the whole panel to come to my house and stand outside of my patio or inside with the slider open. Where they are now with more woods, I hear it every day. This is a lot closer, more dogs, incessant barking, nonstop. I feel for them for their business. They already have an established business. I know that they want to grow. And like the attorney said that, yes, it is technically a commercial zone, but that zone in between residential and commercial, it's an invisible line that barking dogs just goes right over into our properties. I am telling you, with doors and windows closed, they're closer with more dogs. We're not talking about just when we're like we have windows or doors open. We will hear it in our homes every day. I hear it inside my home now. It's not that bothersome. And I understand that we all need to make some concessions. We listen to, you know, Mr. Follin's business in the morning. I don't have any complaints. It was there when I bought it. You know, Classy Canines, I didn't know how loud when I looked at the property until I moved in, which is what the first gentleman spoke of. You can't show residence. But I feel like there's no real opinion here. A bunch of barking dogs make a lot of noise, and that's what's going to happen. So I empathize with their business. But this is our home. I mean, everybody wants to go home from hard day work or just life and just relax and just, you know, a couple noises outside the home. That's one thing, but not barking dogs every day. And I would ask the panel, would you want to live next to a kennel? So please, I implore you to really try to put yourself in our shoes. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Actually, I do have a question. Ryan to Janet Road. How many dogs are at the current facility?
So you need to address the chair, sorry, not the applicants.
How many dogs are at the current facility on a given basis?
Well, permit had it listed at 40.
I thought it was 40 or 45.
40, so this is five times the amount?
I'm looking at the original special permit.
I will say there has been an excessive amount of accidents at the intersection on 138, which is not too far from the facility. So I'm thinking from a traffic standpoint, although he said that there will be no bearing on the traffic coming in and out of there,
If we're talking five times the amount of cars at 8 o'clock in the morning when most people would drop their dogs off, I can see issues from a traffic standpoint moving forward. Just an idea that that came to me while he was presenting his case. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I just get your last name?
Brown, like the color.
And that special permit is 40. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Chairman, members of the board. My name is Holly Brooks. I'm actually the landlord at 795 Washington Street, along with my brother and sister. I think the important thing for me here is to bring it back to that this is a commercial property, and so the residents that do live next door bought when this was a commercial property. It has been a commercial property. It's been in my family. We're next door, but the family business has been, you know, we're in our third generation, and so it's always been a commercial property next door. We were happy to be able to acquire the property prior to us applying for this permit to allow Classy to go across there. It was a facility of children, which we just heard some complaints who were outside at 8 p.m. The reason for some of the rules that were being put in place for Classy Canine was to prevent the noise at night. If somebody is sleeping with their window open at night, Classy, that shouldn't be a problem because the dogs are inside at that point in time because it's, you know, 7 p.m. or 6:30, whatever the board decides in terms of the operating hours. You know, that person should be able to open their windows. I also just wanted to point out, I looked at the abutters that submitted their, I guess, that they weren't in support of moving over. And just to clarify, of that list we went through, there were people that were coexisting in units that were part of that. So of the 64 abutters, it wasn't all 64 that had come against this petition. Only 28% of the abutters were valid people that were not against this petition that's being put in front of you. I think the other thing, again, just to reiterate, our tenant has been working with the town of Easton as well. And as we know, with COVID and the number of people that have made a purchase for dogs, there is a need in Easton for people to put those dogs in a safe place, and they're doing their best also to help where unfortunately there's been people that put in positions that have let their dogs go stray. And so again, Classy is also helping the town of Easton in terms of taking in those animals that otherwise wouldn't have a place to go, and you know, could be walking on the property and be a danger to the resident there. So they're doing their part with the environment. And I think, again, like my grandparents came and started a business in Easton, and here we are, third generation. I don't want to prohibit a small business from growing. They've been a tenant for us for 17 years. So again, I think we need to keep our eye on the fact that this is a commercial business. It feels like the residents may not necessarily be happy with another business, any business that goes in there. That potentially they can pick holes at what that business is operations are. So,
thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. I just want to add something. My name is Cheryl Yodlin, and I live at 6 Janet, Unit 5. As far as I think they said at 7 p.m. it would be closing or people not dropping off. But I can attest to, I don't know what you call them, they board them. I can hear them at 2 o'clock in the morning. They are barking and keeping me awake. I know I'm sounding redundant, but in the location that they're at, I can hear that. They're gonna be in my face when they move into Evolution. We abut it. So I can't stress enough that it's just going to be too loud, and it's going to be intolerable. And the other thing, too, is trying to get out of our driveway right now is hard enough in the morning, lots of traffic. When you start adding in more, when people are dropping off at 8 o'clock in the morning, it's just going to be really tough to get out of there. So basically, you know, I have nothing against business or development or something, but that is not the right place. They're going to be right on top of us, and it's going to bring the value down, obviously. So that's all I have to say.
Very good. Thank you.
Can I make a...
Go ahead.
So I just want to rebut a couple things that the landlord spoke of. Is absolutely not 28% of the abutting buildings. I have, and I emailed to the board, a list, yes. And all those people are legitimately live there, so it's high 90s, it is not 28%. And she's correct, yes, we did purchase or choose to move in with that being a business, but what business was it? It wasn't a dog kennel. That's the difference. Thank you.
Okay. I think that's going to wrap it up for the public comments. Someone want to make a motion? Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Why didn't you get comments? Correct.
Well, I mean, sure. Yeah. And, all right, Gene, you want to start?
I have a couple of questions. Is that appropriate?
Yeah, no, because I have a number of questions myself.
Oh, thank you. Is that okay for me
yes,
to start?
Yes, please.
Thank you very much. And through you, or do I?
No, nope, you can address them directly.
I have a question about the lighting. Perhaps could be addressed by engineering. It was raised by some of the folks in the audience. What is the current proposed? It's not indicated on the plans what the proposed lighting is, and is it, does it operate 24/7? Are the lights always on? I know this is sort of a multi-part question, but it's relating to the right lighting.
We don't have any additional lights proposed. What's there now is what's going to remain. There'll be building lights to light the entrances, and then what's there currently for the parking lot will remain.
How about for the outdoor play area, existing area for the dogs, so the dogs not out allowed.
The dogs aren't out at night. I think the hours were mentioned to be 7 to 7, whatever it is. So the dogs won't be out at night.
Six,
so there's no
after 6:30, the dogs light. Are not allowed outside. Is
correct.
That what I understand?
Correct.
So will those lights, are the lights that you're mentioning being on this building, are not the lights that the neighbors are complaining about? Is that correct? That's from 795 Washington Street?
I believe
Street?
So, yes.
Is there any... okay. In terms of the indoor area, is there any indoor play area? You've got indoor training, but is there any thought that the dogs play also inside? Is the training area also a play area?
That I couldn't answer. I'm not sure exactly.
Yes, there are indoor areas.
In terms of the waste, has there been any discussion? You said the waste is going to be picked up in compost, not composted, but put in bags, plastic bags, and put in a dumpster. Is the dumpster in, I believe that it was the Conservation Commission or Environmental Enforcement that had questions about the planning for waste and composting. Does it meet the bylaws in terms of the distance from any water source?
To be honest with you, I don't know that there is a bylaw from a wetland to the waste, but it meets all of the town's requirements, and it's the same process that they use currently in their existing building, as far as bagging it and putting it in a dumpster and having it picked up. So it's the same process.
Okay. I have a question on the existing special permit that was in our packet. There was one from 2006. This existing special permit has been amended. Do I understand that to have been correct?
Correct. They added an overnight component.
Because the initial permit said no overnight dogs.
Right. So they added 25 overnight.
And that was in 2007?
Yeah. About a year after they got the
okay, and these was that also a five-year special permit?
Five-year special
yes,
permit?
Yes, the first permit was a five-year permit.
Okay. I don't believe it was.
I just wondered if it had been renewed, if the special permit had been renewed on a... I don't see the second one. I don't know if the subsequent permit was required to be renewed on that five-year
I can certainly
term.
Take a look.
And if not, why not?
I don't see any indication that it was in here that it was 5 years.
Do you have a copy that?
Yeah,
I don't have a copy.
Sure, yeah. I apologize. It was submitted.
I saw the 5 years.
Mr. Chair, do they have to be renewed every 5 years? Or is it 5 years?
Well, their initial permit said item number 8 under the board's decision was special permit shall be valid for a term of 5 years.
But that's a term that the applicant has to.
Well, to me, it's unclear. Is it the applicant, is the applicant's job to approach the town for a renewal, or is the town's job to approach the applicant for a renewal?
I always read it as the permit to act on this, to go ahead and make the kennel, and if you don't do anything, let's say you get the approval and then you decide to put, you don't do anything with it, then
it expires
and then some new owner would have to apply for the same thing.
Yeah, but we don't generally, I've been on the board for 12 years and I've never had a permit have a term, an expiration term in it. So I would take that as a literal, it's good for 5 years, and someone had a requirement to renew it.
Right. So there is no, and do we have an answer yet on whether or not the subsequent permit was had a
It doesn't contain that language, no. No.
In the, just a couple more questions, thank you.
Sure.
You're going from 40 to propose 200 dogs, and I think, I wonder if you could speak a little more, just a little more in depth about the notion of traffic. I think one of the commenters did mention something. You know, you do address the fact that you seem to have ample parking based on the bylaw. However, we are talking about a fivefold increase of the number of dogs. Would they be, are we anticipating that they would be picked up at opening and closed down at the end of the day, just like maybe a elementary school or something? That
sure,
it's not going to be spread out necessarily across the day. So my question is, if I could get it out, is that's my fault, not yours, is what is the, on what basis do you determine that there's no impact on or minimal impact on traffic if you've got 200, I'm assuming a dog a car?
Sure, I can, if it pleases the chair, I could just ask the tenant just to speak to when people are coming in and out.
Yep, that's fine.
Just
so people,
please come up to the microphone so that the public can hear you.
Hi, my name's Robert Cotogio at 61 Wilson Street with a tenant at Classy Canines. People come all throughout the day. There's not really a specific time, so pick up or drop off. We offer half days, so morning, afternoon, and also at nighttime. The training goes on all throughout the day, some in the morning, some in the afternoon. So it is kind of spread out throughout the entire day as far as traffic.
Okay, thank you. And perhaps one last one. In terms of this, the notion of public welfare here, you mentioned that there's a need, obviously, and in Easton, do you have a sense of what percentage of the clients will be Easton residents?
Again, if I could ask the tenant, I think he's just going to have that. I don't have those specifics.
Hi, Robert Cotogio again. Sorry, what was the question?
Just there was a general statement in the beginning that this is somehow for the public good, and I think that would be an important consideration in a special permit application.
Sure.
Do you have a sense that somehow Easton needs this? But how do we know what percentage now do you have, for example, of what percentage of the clientele are Easton residents?
I don't know an exact percentage, but I can say a lot of our clients are from Easton or very close by. We do a lot of work with the town of Easton. It's in its own. A lot of the first responders use us. You know, medical people and all that stuff that work 24 hours, last minute boardings, things like that. A lot of us, a lot of neighbors close by us use us. Our radius is really only 10 miles anyways, so that we would travel and stuff. So right in around, you know, I would say 40 to 50% of our business would be directly through Easton right now.
Thank you. And I did remember, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, that just from an engineering standpoint, has there been consideration for building out the interior spaces with some kind of sound mitigation? Has there been what's been done in the consideration of noise? Dogs are inside, and I think neighbors were testifying that they could hear them.
At this point, no, we haven't done any sound studies or anything to that effect in the areas that the dogs would be kept inside.
Thank you. No further questions. Thank you.
Great. Mr. Hamburger.
I've got a couple of questions also. How big is the building?
I can get that for you. About 14,000 square feet.
And so that's about 70 feet per dog? If I can do the math in my head.
Sounds right.
Is that appropriate? Is there any standards for how much running area a dog needs inside? Are they in cages at night? Or?
Again, I think we're going to ask the prospective tenant to come back up. If that's okay, Mr. Chair.
Fine.
Hi, Robert Cotoggio. You asked if the dogs are in cages at night?
Yes.
Yes, they are. They're all in their own individual cages, and they're absolutely up to code to make sure that they have each dog, depending on its size, has enough room to adequately move around and be comfortable overnight.
And they're inside from sundown to sunup?
Yes, when we close at 6:30, they come inside. At that point, we do have staff inside still keeping an eye on them and cleaning and stuff. And like they mentioned, sometimes there'll be a client that needs to come a little later just to pick up. But otherwise, the dogs don't go out after that.
Okay. And there's about 75 overnight that you're expecting?
Yes, right around there.
So that'd be about 125 daily drop-offs?
Depending on the stays. Some dogs stay for a week. Some dogs stay for a night, depending.
I'm assuming for the sure. Daily would be, be the remainder of them at full occupancy.
Yes.
So that would be, that comes out to, per day, 250 cars coming and going, plus 20 grooming, there's another 40. I'm just wondering if this is enough to make an impact on the traffic.
I'm not really qualified to speak on the traffic stuff.
Neither am I.
Thank you.
I think I'm all set for now.
Ms. McCall?
Currently, this build-out in here hasn't been done yet, correct?
Correct.
Right, because before it was, an athletic training facility, so it was pretty much wide open, like an open area.
I believe so, yes.
And this outdoor play area, has any thought been given to any kind of fencing? Because right now I think it's chain link fence with blacked out fabric or something that I've seen when I drive by there. It's clearly the biggest complaint overwhelmingly is a noise issue. You're going from 40 to 200, you're sliding the facility down about 300 feet closer. And I'd like to see some sort of, where you can help ensure that while there, not to say that nobody would ever hear a dog bark, but can we to go to this kind of an increase, some sort of mitigation, what kind of exterior, I'm not in construction, but the drywall, will it, is it going to be steel building? That type of thing. I don't know what's going to be in there, what they have planned. Are there going to be full walls? Are there going to be pony walls? I mean, anything to, that's your biggest hurdle to me, along with the traffic concerns, just such a large increase of dogs, which, credit to your business. You're successful and you're trying to grow it. I get it. But you get a lot of people right there that this is going to affect. So if I could get more information on that at some point, that's my only question, really.
Was that a question or a statement?
A statement question. I mean, I don't see anything in here telling me what, and I think of some sort of fencing for the outside has to be you know, considered in the plans at least. You know, if you potentially have 40 dogs running around at, you know, in shifts of 30 or 40, you know, big dogs together and that sort of thing. A chain link fence, I don't think, is adequate enough for me, anyways.
Understood. Yeah, there's, we've, I mean, I can have Mr. Follin speak to it, but I believe, as the owner, that they would be open to, I'm not an expert on barking mitigation, but some sort of sound mitigation. If you don't mind, I get Mr. Follin come up, he's just a little more knowledge on that process, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't want to commit.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Pat Follin again. The existing structure is a steel truss structure. With the outside walls are about 8 inches thick, corrugated steel panels on the outside, insulation on the inside. On the inside of the warehouse currently, it's a half-inch plywood because of the play balls that were in there before. So that's a pretty sound, the attenuation of that that build-out is actually quite quiet. You could probably have a concert in there and you wouldn't hear it. I don't think the issue will be the inside. As far as the build out, you're correct. Most of those facilities are in there, where the grooming will be, the restrooms, the lobby, some of the break room, all that's already there. There will be a little couple changes, but some of the partitions in the area to separate the dogs would have to be done. Again, I think, you know, as far as the build out inside, I don't think that would be the concern for noise. I think we would be amenable to taking a look at some type of sound attenuation. I know there was a comment that it just wouldn't work. That's what they're there for. You know, you see like highway barriers and so on and so forth. So I think there we could do some investigation into that if the board chooses so. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Vice Chair, you got anything?
Yes, I have a couple of questions. Getting back to the plan, that open area, I believe you told Mr. McCall that right now that fence is a chain link fence.
I believe it is a chain link fence now, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
But you're not entirely sure.
No, Mr. Follin. Yeah, Mr. Follin confirmed it's.
Okay. And what's the height of the fence?
I believe it's a 6 foot fence.
Six. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, excuse me. Eight foot fence. Sorry.
Okay. And in response to one of the earlier questions, someone, I believe it was you, sir, said that there have been no sound studies. Has there been any effort made to determine what can be done in that outdoor area to mitigate noise that you're prepared to say, based on this study or based on this engineer's recommendation or based on something, that you could put in place something that would dampen the noise from the barking dogs? Because clearly, from the comments that we've heard, that's a very big concern.
Understood, yeah. We haven't had a study done on the noise. When we got the comments this afternoon, that's when we had some discussions about some sort of noise mitigation on the exterior, I guess play area or training area. But we haven't had any sort of study done, just beyond those discussions we had today. Some suggestions on what might work as a way to mitigate and dampen the sound.
And if I understood what you said at the beginning of the presentation, that open area would be designed for, if that's the proper term, for 50 to 60 dogs to be outside?
Correct.
And that's more than the number of dogs that you have, that you're housing in the old premise.
Correct.
And in your brief, Attorney Castleman, you went over the factors that were to take into consideration in passing on this or deciding. Factor six, we need to agree that you've identified potential fiscal impact, including impact on town services, tax base, and employment, taking into account any proposed mitigation. What you did say there in response was that the
the dog kennel business will generate additional revenue for the town. How is this new business going to generate additional revenue for the town?
Well, I can do taxes.
You mean the tax on the building?
The building, the business, sure.
The building's being taxed right now, is it not?
It is, but there's going to be improvements, so I would assume there would be, you know, potential increase in the value.
In the assessed
yeah.
value, and the improvements being what you proposed doing to the
yes, and then the I guess we call it the play area or the and any potential fences or.
And other than perhaps increased tax assessment, is there any other way that you believe that it would bring additional revenue to the town?
Not if it bring additional revenue necessarily. I think through employment, there could be additional people that are now working in the town. There's more people coming into the town around that area, going to the businesses, making purchases, et cetera.
And forgive me if I'm repeating something that was asked earlier. There was that comment from the Board of Health on the current septic design. If you could go back over that a little bit more slowly, because I...
Oh, sure.
Maybe
I can hit that one.
Well, I'm going to let the engineer speak to it a little.
Sure.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I was looking at you. I should have
done the. Sure. No, that's fine. Thank you. Again, there's a Title V inspection that was done at the time of the closing just a year ago, May of 22. that sizes the system. The Board of Health's comment about the 300 gallons a day, that was the proposed design flow for the previous tenant. They would need 300 gallons a day. The system itself has a capacity of 2,200 gallons a day. No different than your house. If you have three people, that's 300 gallons a day. But your system might be designed for 600 gallons a day. So there's a little bit of a difference between the proposed use for that particular client, that particular occupant, as opposed to the system itself. So the system is designed for 2,200 gallons per day. And then Title V has requirements, that's specific to this use. So we would have to fit under that use.
I'm sorry, I missed that last part.
So Title V says you're allowed 50 gallons per day per kennel, is what they say. So,
no.
And kennel being the entire. When you say kennel, are you talking about one dog in a crate, or are you talking about the overall?
The overall. So there's more than enough capacity with the existing system. Again, it's two separate systems in that front parking lot. It's 2,200 gallons a day. Even added the office staff that would be there. That would also need some flow. The septic system is over-designed at this point.
The comment talks about the current septic system can only support six kennels and 50 gallons.
Based on the 300 gallons per day that they plucked out of the old permit.
I see. So 300 divided
by the 50 comes to six, right? As opposed to the 220, the 2,200, I'm sorry, the 2,200 gallons per day that the system actually has a capacity for.
All right. I guess lastly, when again getting back to the comments, the Planning and Zoning Board indicated that they weren't going to provide comments. And with
saying, quote, sufficient information to weigh the merits of the proposed use was not provided. Was any indication, given the time that you made the presentation there, what information they required?
No, I don't know what other information they would require.
Except that we didn't make a formal presentation in front of them. The plans are...
I understand. Right. They don't just look at pieces of paper.
Right.
Come up with their comment. You were there making the presentation.
No, that's what I'm saying. There was no formal. We didn't have a formal presentation before the planning and zoning board, just because there's no permit required through them. So I think the way it works, we just submit the plans. It gets distributed to each of the departments. In that particular case, the board. The board brings it to themselves under other business and discusses it amongst themselves. But we were not present for that.
Fair enough. Thank you. I don't have any questions.
Thank you.
Okay, I guess that just leaves me. And everyone stole my thunder. Attorney Casavant, the letter that accompanied doesn't mention anywhere boarding in there. Only the plans mention boarding. So when I was going through everything, you know, I was surprised to see boarding in there because it wasn't mentioned anywhere.
For the request for the the overnights, that's an oversight on my part.
Okay.
The total dog is what they were looking for, a portion of them.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially would be asked to increase that 25 number to, if I've said 60.
Okay. I don't have any other questions.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask one more?
Yeah.
Would you explain who's spending, do you have employees who are spending the night while these dogs are being boarded, and how many, and where on the plan are the employees spending the night?
I will again have to ask the business owner. I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay, thank you.
If there are any.
Hi, Robert Petoggio. So we do have staff there. Right now we have one, but it would probably be two at this facility. They're just there mostly cleaning. They let the dogs sleep at night, but they are there and it's on site just in case anything was to happen. But they're moving around working throughout the day until we open back up. First person comes in at 5:30. Again, the dogs don't go out, but there's always people there.
So for 60 dogs, it's one or two people that would be there?
Each dog is in their own respective cuppy. Fully locked away, though, yes.
And where do the employees sleep?
They don't sleep. They're working throughout
the day. Third shift.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Okay, it's the third shift. Okay. Thank you. And while you're there, do you currently have a kennel license?
Yes.
Through the town? And you update that every year annually?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. No further questions.
Public comments are over. So, Councilor, that there are a couple questions that, you know, I don't know, you know, how the board would vote right now, but that there seem that there are a couple open questions where I think it would be very challenging for us to come to a decision. So did you or your client want to try and get that information, some of those clarifying questions as far as noise, maybe information on lighting, et cetera, to better inform us to make a decision? Or do you want to roll the dice?
My suggestion would be, you know, there's a lot of good feedback here. So for us to kind of process this, I think, obviously, you know, there's been a lot about noise, a lot about traffic. So,
do you want to potentially continue?
I would suggest to continue. So I could just ask Mr. Follin, just my client, if would you be?
That's free too.
Would you like a continuance, or would you like?
Yeah, if we could just get the specific questions, so just so we're not wasting anyone's time. So exactly the issue of the. Can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just, and your voice carries, but let's make sure the public can hear it.
I didn't mean to, Mr. Chairman, reach out before when they were talking, but just so you know about the light question, we can further answer that. But there was a special permit on this property in 2011 that a previous owner had done. We're not making any changes to the lighting situation on this current building. I will be looking into our building, as I heard a concern about some of the lighting on our building, and I don't want that to be a concern for them, so that's a separate issue. But so there will be no changes to the lighting. And then if I could just make one comment about the where the dumpster is located, that's designed on the plan as well by the Conservation Commission. That's an agreed spot where that location will be. So I just want to touch on that as well. But if I think we could have a continuance, I'd rather be answer everybody's questions in full and take everyone's feedback constructively. And then, you know, we could present again if we need to.
I think the questions are specifically geared towards noise. Mm-hmm. So some sort of noise study and then some sort of traffic study. So we can be better informed, potentially allay any fears of the abutting neighbors. And I think that pretty much, those are the two, I think, open concerns
we had. Those are the most pressing issues by far, especially the noise. Yeah. If some sort of engineered solution would be beneficial.
Okay.
Yes.
Fair enough. So do you want to pick a date? When is our next?
November.
We don't have anything on the calendar for November, right?
14th of November.
Is that enough time?
That'll be enough time, I think.
Sure.
Or December 12th.
Yeah, I think we can shoot for November 14th. I think we should.
Okay, so it's 6:35 on November 14th.
Sure.
Yeah.
Pressure's good.
Oh, I'm not. The extent that it matters, I'm not available.
Okay. We would still have a quorum. It'd need all four for it to work. So, do you want to stick with the 14th, or do you want to wait till December 12th? Your call. It's up to you.
I am fine with the 14th. That's fine. If the
The 12th.
Excuse me.
Let's not rush anything. Let's make sure we do it.
You want to do December 12th?
Okay. So then.
I guess December 12th, and that way.
Okay. Is there anything on the docket for 12? Okay. So 6:35 on December 12th. We'll continue to.
You need a motion.
Motion to continue. Hearing till December 12th, 6:35 p.m.
All right, Mr. McCall made a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. And any discussion?
No.
Seeing none, all those in favor? We'll just do it by hand vote. So that's 5-0 to continue. So I guess we'll see you back here in December.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
All right, you
Thank
bet.
You, board. Appreciate your time.
Yep.
Thank you, everyone,
Thanks.
For coming and appreciate
everyone
your
for coming.
Comments.
Appreciate the comments and helps out.
What do we get here?
Oh, the sign.
Thank you,
Jeff. Yep, you bet.
Thank you all.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, they did that. I don't know how well that worked.
They came in here and I thought we were as important as the select board.
Right.
We're not?
No $150 million proposals, so apparently not.
Yeah.
All right.
Read this in, Mr. Chair?
I'm sorry?
You want me to read this in or you want to wait a
second?
Well,
I'm going to let the noise clear out a little bit.
Gotcha.
I mean, it was bad enough listening to the vacuum. I had a hard time hearing Attorney Cassavant.
Yep.
Okay, so I think we're ready. So, Ms. McCall, you want to read our next applicant under the record, please?
Yes. Eastern Board of Appeals will hold a public hearing on Tuesday, October 24th, 2023 at 6:35 p.m. at the Eastern Town Hall, Colleen Corona Boardroom, 136 Elm Street, Easton, on the following petition. Variance ID Sign Group, Inc. on behalf of Fernandez Lumber for property located at 2299 Depot Street, Easton, Mass. Assessor's Map 38U, Lot 68. For variance pursuant to MGL Chapter 40A, Subsection 10, and Easton Code Book Chapter 235 Zoning, Section 235-29, Subsection D, Subsection 2. Applicant seeks permission to install two double-sided sign panels to be added to an existing pylon sign on the property. This notice is available at masspublicnotices.org. The following comments: DPW, Police Department, Board of Health, Environmental Planner, Affordable Housing Trust, Historical Commission, all not applicable. Building Department, status recommended.
Planning and Zoning also recommend with the following comment. October 2nd, 2023, Planning and Zoning Board discuss a variance application submitted by the proposed sign at 299 Depot Street and voted unanimously to recommend the application. That's it.
Fantastic. Is the applicant present? Please have a seat.
Present. Where the heck did everyone go?
I know. You thought you were popular. Oh, yes. You're sitting.
Thank you.
See, that's why she's, that's why Suzanne's the best.
On top.
All right,
of
so
it.
Sitting on this hearing this evening, myself, Mr. McCall, Mr. Kay, you're on this one. You're on this one, John. All right, Mr. Curran, and then Mr. Hanberger. So I made sure I did that while Suzanne wasn't paying attention. Fantastic. All right, Suzanne, so we read out, and it's everyone but Ms. Rummel.
I do, okay.
All right. Pictures.
Thank you.
Ready when you are, sir.
Good to go. Thank you. My name is Jamie Fisher. I'm with ID Sign Group, located at 9 Bristol Drive, southeast in Massachusetts. And I'm here on behalf of Fernandes Lumber Services. Our applicant seeks relief in the form of two additional PVC panel signs, both non-illuminated, equal to an additional 18 square feet of signage per side. Right now, they currently have 51.13 total square feet. And as mentioned, we're looking to increase that by 18.22 square feet, bringing the new total to 69.35 square feet per side. I currently, the way that I interpret the current bylaws suggests that there are a total of 100 square feet per side, which conflicts a little bit with a message that I had received through the application platform. One freestanding sign per street frontage up to a maximum of 100 square feet per single or double occupancy building is an allowed permittable sign according to section 235-29D, subsection 2. And then if you go on to read through the bylaws, I get a little bit confused because in general provisions, section I, section 1, it goes on to state that a sign with two or more faces, the area of all faces should be included in determining the area, except where the two faces are placed back to back. This would be a circumstance where the faces are placed back to back, no greater than 2 feet. So I'm a bit unclear in my own personal interpretation. And my understanding is that we would no longer be exceeding the allotted square footage. We would actually fall beneath the maximum allotted square footage if I'm interpreting the bylaws correctly.
That's your whole presentation.
I think so. Is there, should I?
Well, it seemed like it was open, like you were waiting for a response.
Yeah, nope. I think that's about it. If there are questions in terms of specifics as to how these signs are manufactured, where they'll be located or oriented in the field, as you can see, here are the renderings and blueprints above, and that is how they are proposed to be installed in the field, consistent with all of the handouts that I've provided. And one thing to note is that the existing Blue Rhino propane hanging shield sign will be removed and replaced with the two that we're seeking relief upon.
All right. Are there any members of the public who wish to comment? No. Okay, well, Mr. McCall, I'm going to start on your end this time.
I'm in favor of this, so I don't really have any questions.
Okay.
No questions.
Questions?
No questions.
I'm afraid I have questions. Yeah.
You're not on this. Yeah. I have no questions. Entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
Motion to close.
All right.
Second.
Very good. Motion by Mr. Call, seconded by Mr. Curran. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
2, 3, 4, 5, 0.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
We're going to deliberate now.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
You're getting ahead of yourself.
Yes.
I got you.
Susan, do you need?
No, that was just to close.
Okay. Okay. So any deliberation at this point?
No, I'm just in favor.
Okay, someone want to make a motion then?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the applicant's request for the additional panel size.
Mr. Curran, you want to back him up on that one?
I'll second.
Okay, just making sure. This seems to be your thing tonight. Seconded by Mr. Curran. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor? That is a 5-0.
Wonderful. So, thank you. So my question still remains in my interpretation of the bylaws for professional development as a, you know, as a business acting in Easton. I want to make sure that I'm clear with my understanding as well. The notation on the application suggests that there's a maximum of 100 square feet, 50 per side. However, my interpretation suggests that it would be 100 per side of pylon panel, mm-hmm. because these signs aren't
back
greater
back.
Than 2 feet.
Yeah, and I didn't really understand the question.
So we're here filing for a special variance because we're suggestively exceeding 50 per square feet. Is it not 100 is allowed per side, not 50?
As long as the signs are back to back.
Correct.
So your interpretation is the way that I read it.
Which would suggest that this
I don't think you needed to, but you know, the zoning enforcement officer has the right that if they're unclear to send this to the board for review.
Okay.
And that's what he exercised.
Okay, so it is of your opinion that in the future you are allowed 100 square feet per side of sign, mm-hmm. equaling a total of 200 square feet. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Helps to know. So that in the future,
I read it.
Yeah, I have the ability to potentially contest that, thus saving my client, you know, valuable time and money.
In the end, the challenge, you can contest it, but the zoning enforcement officer has the right to say they're not. Case he, you know, he's not going to make that call, that he wants you to go to the zoning board for.
Gotcha.
So.
Yeah,
you know,
I just like
that,
to communicate
that,
this
that's,
back to my client,
sure.
so that they're aware of, you know, how it all washed out in the end.
Mm. Sure. But I mean, if you end up with a different chair and a different board, they could interpret it differently.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So it's subject to interpretation of the current.
Everything is subject. That's what keeps attorneys employed, right? So.
It is and until it's on the last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're all set. So. Suzanne will take care of that. Send it over to me for review, and
yeah.
You know, I'm sure within the next couple of days, you know, I have that all squared.
No rush. Thank you. I appreciate the explanation.
All right. All right. So one more to go.
Thank you. Thanks again.
All right, you. Have a nice night. All right, Mr. McCall, whenever you're ready.
All right. Eastern Board of Appeals will hold a public hearing on Tuesday, October 24th, 2023 at 6:40 p.m. The Eastern Town Hall, Colleen Corona Boardroom, 136 Elm Street, Eastern Mass, on the following petition. Variance, JGI Realty Trust, Property located at 68 Prospect Street, Eastern Mass, Assessors Map 16R, Lot 42, for a variance pursuant to Eastern Code Book Chapters 235 Zoning, Section 235-17A, to allow less than a 40-foot building separation. This notice is also available at masspublicnotices.org. The following comments: Police, Affordable Housing, Historical Commission, and Board of Health are all now not applicable. Building Department gave it a complete status, and then the comment was, building has no issue, but curious why fire wasn't asked to weigh in. Environmental Planner, not applicable. Fire Department, I guess they did weigh in, they said recommend. And Planning and Zoning, recommend. And the following comment, October 16th, 2023, the Planning and Zoning Board discussed a variance application submitted for 68 Prospect Street and voted 4-0 to recommend the application.
Okay. Gentlemen, welcome back.
Thank you.
Deja vu.
Yes. Timothy Duffy for the applicant, JGI Realty Trust. I have with me the trustee, Joseph Ritchie, and John Moynihan, the operating manager of the golf course. And yes, we are back. We were here in July for a special permit for the construction of a 2,900 square foot building. That permit was allowed, and the Planning Board did a site plan review in which they placed a comment in their approval of the site plan that the zoning enforcement officer shall weigh in on Chapter 235, Section 17A, the 40-foot separation of buildings. So he sent a letter to the general contractor indicating that he would not approve the permit, in fact would deny the building permit, as there was not a variance issued for the 40-foot separation of the buildings. I had a long conversation with the zoning enforcement officer and explained that we went the route of the special permit, as my reading of the town bylaw did not apply to our particular situation, particularly sections 21 and 22 with respect to variances, and specifically structural variances, that it talks about reconstruction, addition, extension, alteration, extension of an exterior wall. There's nothing in the bylaw, the sections 21 and 22 with respect to variance, or the definitions in the bylaw about new construction, which is what we're doing. I further explained that the application was clear that we were requesting a special permit for the construction of a 2,900 square foot building right alongside the existing retail building, that the decision from this board specifically stated that's what we were applying for, and that further ruling of this board was that the building shall be constructed and the site developed, shall be developed pursuant to the plan provided. His comment to me was based on the fact that the planning board said that he shall enforce that particular provision if he refused to issue the permit without a variance of the appropriate section of the bylaw. So we're here this evening. I've amended my brief to include the issues with respect to soil conditions, site conditions. When we were here previously, the board all seemed to be quite familiar with this site, the golf course, which is crisscrossed with streams, ponds, wetland protected areas. The structure is located in the only place it could be placed outside of the appropriate wetland protection buffers. Any other location would require significant infrastructure. There are possibly a few locations that would still be in an upland area, but they'd be at the far end of the course near the green for hole two or the tee box for hole three, which would require removal of vegetation and trees and access and infrastructure across wetland and roads and what have you to get back there, which is not only financially a hardship on the applicant, but would cause significantly more environmental damage to the wetlands that are currently there. So in terms of the other criteria required, we've already addressed those in the special permit. I'm happy to get into those if need be, but I would rely upon my brief and answer any questions that the board might have.
Okay, so sitting on this hearing, I didn't go over that, so Mr. Call, Mr. Curran, Mr. Kay, Mr. Hanberger, and myself. Mr. Hanberger, I'll allow you to go first.
The separation they're requesting is from your building to your new building?
Correct. Under the town bylaw, there's a provision that any accessory structure needs to be 40 feet away from any other structure on the property. This, I didn't address that because we did in the special permit, but this is a residentially zoned area. This is a golf course operating in a residential zoned area, so that's the residential requirement under the current building bylaw and zoning bylaw that the structures be 40 feet apart. And as the building inspector indicated, that it's waived all the time for 2 and 3 car garages and other issues, but he would not issue this particular building permit without the variance being granted, saying that while your decision said what it did not specifically indicate that we were able to build this building within 40 feet.
I'm done.
Mr. Kay?
I don't have any questions.
Mr. Curran?
I guess just one. So in other words, everything's the same today as it was back in July, except for the fact that we have this issue with the 40-foot.
There is one slight change in that the roadway going up to the parking lot, the planning board required that be moved. They were looking for us to move the building itself, which was not possible because of the proximity to the existing structure. So where this corner right here was so close to the roadway, they asked that we move it really a matter of inches. So we're planning to move the roadway up to the upper parking lot by less than a foot just to get it further away from the building. Other than that, the building's not moving. Everything that you've already voted on is the same as it was.
Right. So the only thing we have to vote on is the 40-foot.
Correct.
Thank you. I have no other questions.
Well, we're changing it from a special permit to a variance, correct?
Well, not changing. The special permit is for the use. The variance is for the enforcement of the setbacks, et cetera.
Okay. Yeah. I don't have any other questions.
So what is between the buildings?
The like, space?
Yeah.
So in the front, it's 2 feet, 4 inches. In the back, it's 4 feet, 5 inches.
And what's going to be between there? Just air?
Correct.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be some drainage along the ground.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have anything else. I'm assuming, sir, you're here to support them?
I am.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Mr. McCall? Mr. Curran? Yeah, nice. Now I just get a head nod. I don't even get a... That's fantastic. Any discussion? Seeing none, vote by hand is fine. That is 5-0. Okay. Deliberate.
I think we approved the project before. I'm in favor of it. The fact that they're in a residential area is the only reason why they'd be here. And also, as Mr. Duffy alluded to, the environmental concerns all over the place, it just become quite expensive and it'd be a lot of damage to the environment to do it any other way. So I'm in favor of this, and that's it.
So we'll remember that, I always want to make sure we step through the standards.
Sure.
One piece at a time. So special circumstances related to soil condition, shape, or topography of such land or structure.
I think I mentioned that.
I'd say that there is. Yeah. And you discussed that as well, counselor, saying basically even look at other places to put it, and you're down by the second hole or third tee box, and wetlands and trees, et cetera, need to come down.
It will also have a much more significant impact on those neighbors. They're much closer to the course than where all of this infrastructure is already.
Plus, I would think that would also have an economic impact because it wouldn't be as easy to access the building, and people probably be like, nah, it's not that important.
Well, it would also require one of the numerous wetland crossings that are already on the property for the golf carts would have to be beefed up to handle road traffic. We'd have to have cars going up there. You'd have to put electric and water lines. It'd be
yeah, it would make, yeah, right. All right, so A little interpretation of the provision of the bylaw would involve substantial hardship, financial otherwise, which we just discussed. And desirable relief may be granted without substantial detriment to the public good. There's no one here from the public to oppose this. So I would think we would be well within our bounds.
Not to interrupt you, but this board and the planning board have also indicated that this project does not have any detrimental impact on the neighborhood.
Right. So well within our bounds on that. So if someone wants to make a motion.
Sorry, I make a motion to approve the applicant's application for a variance.
I'll second.
I appreciate that. All right. So we have a motion on the floor. Mr. McCall seconded by Mr. Curran. Any discussion? And the discussion is to approve the variance as proposed. Seeing none, why don't we take a hand vote? All those in favor? All those opposed? That is a 5-0. And you know how to take care of the paperwork with Suzanne.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. All right, so we have some just regular business stuff. We got the September meeting minutes.
Signatures.
Yeah.
Everybody had a chance to review the minutes.
These are for the...
That's fine. Votes?
Huh?
Are you going to take a vote on the minutes?
Oh, wait. Yeah, just...
Oh.
Well, I mean, well, just...
Well, that'll be after, but right now we're dealing with the meeting minutes of September. Okay. So do we have any comments on the meeting minutes of September?
I don't have any.
I don't have any.
Okay.
None.
Okay, great.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I'm going to abstain because I wasn't here.
Okay, very good. I don't have any comments, so I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve the minutes for September 12th.
Sorry. I'll second.
All right. I didn't know if you guys were going to try and change it up and you make the motion.
Nice.
I gotcha.
In a groove.
Picture the catcher.
Gotcha. Motion approved by Mr. McCall, seconded by Mr. Curran. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll just take a hand vote. All those in favor? That is 4-0 and one abstention.
You can vote on minutes if you don't attend a meeting, I've been told.
Oh, okay.
All right. Learn something new every day.
Would you like a fifth vote? I
just want it for the future.
Do you need it for it?
No, we don't. We have four, so that's an approval.
In the past, I've missed meetings and then voted to approve the minutes.
Right.
So you mean you watched the meeting and then compared notes?
That's
okay.
A volunteer.
Okay, that's good.
I'll get
you
in the morning.
Fantastic. All right, so that's 4-0 and 1. Any other items?
No, do we have signatures too?
You have to adjourn.
Yeah, so
adjourn
I'll entertain
first,
a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Mr. McCall.
Sorry.
Mr. Curran, thank you. Perfect tonight. No discussion. No, all is in favor. That is a 5-0 plus 1. Thank you, everyone. Don't forget to turn off your microphones.